And as a precocious 14-year-old, I was so above the kids my own age, knowledgeable wise, that they resented me. And of course, I was a smart ass too. You know, I was. I can see we can do some editing. The 16-year-olds wouldn't accept me because I was only 13 or 14. And so the only time I had friends was when I brought out the bike or the football. Otherwise, they didn't want to know me. But I never was a great athlete anyway. Didn't really have that much of an interest in sports. I was good at tennis, very good at tennis. I was very good at swimming, water sports. And as a matter of fact, I had a diving act with my cousin at one time off of diving boards until I injured the ears. Now I jump in a pool. I don't dive.
So where did you go to school in when you went to Syracuse?
I took my master's in psych. And that's how I became a pitchman, really. I had done the pitching in the carnival shows and in the burlesque theater of the candy and all that. And I wrote my thesis on mob psychology. And for the thesis, I wrote this thing, which in actuality was a pitch. And the professor read it as well. He said, "Sounds great in theory, but it'll never work in practice." So on a $100 bet, I put it into practice and made so much money I never went back for my doctorate.
Now, when we talked to Ward Hall yesterday, I guess, you mentioned last night on the phone, Ward was saying there are all kinds of different, like the candy pitch, the pin pitch, he named all these pitches. Are they just types of products, or are there types of pitches? I mean, where the same phrases?
Well, the various pitches need different techniques. There's a demonstration and there's a pitch. To me, a demonstration item is a grind item where you constantly grind. For instance, I have a jewelry cleaner. I don't know if you can see it. There's a bottle of it right up there, a little bottle.
Mm-hmm.
See the little white bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, that's jewelry cleaner. And it's a good product. It's gem jewelry cleaner. We import that from Canada. And that you sell as a grind, as a demonstration. You got a little counter, and as people are walking by in a mall or something, you call them over, "Excuse me, may I clean a ring for you? It's free." We do this in order to show you how well this cleans, et cetera, et cetera. And you give them, you can't hold them more than a minute or so, and you give them a little pitch, explain to them that they should never clean their gems with a toothbrush because it loosens the stone. And here they don't have to rub it at all. They just soak it for 5 minutes, take it out, put it in running water. "I don't have any running water here, madam, so I hope you don't mind. I'm using just plain water." And, of course, you dry it in a nice lint-free cloth. "But I didn't bring the baby's diapers today, so I'm going to use just a paper towel." Now, you hold it up to the light, and you say, "Now, isn't that lovely? Is that an improvement?" And she says, "Oh, absolutely." She says, "But what about the wedding band that goes with you?" And I said, "Well, I didn't want to clean two. We only clean one free. We'll clean two if you buy. However, I really wanted you to see the difference between the one I cleaned and the one I didn't clean." And she says, "Oh, my goodness, there's a difference." She says, "I'll buy it." She says, "Clean the other one." You know? And we, you know, $2. But that's a grind. You're working at one person at a time. Sometimes other people do what we call stick their nose in, which means that other people are listening to part of the pitch. And the technique there is if other people stick their nose in, now you, at home you let this soak for 5 minutes. "I'm not going to keep you here 5 minutes. I'll do yours for you too, sir. Just slip off a ring." You see, now you got his ring. He can't leave, you see. And if somebody walks by wearing eyeglasses, this is also very good as an eyeglass cleaner, and it keeps the fog off the glasses, keeps the glasses from fogging. So it's, you know, it's that kind of a product, and it sells and it lends itself to sale, but it's a soft sell. It's a It's not what we call a hard sell, and it's a very simple, easy demonstration. It demonstrates like the T-Fal pans are a grind demonstration. But the pen pitch is a pitch. There we gather an audience. We announce that in 5 minutes from now, we will distribute samples, offer advertising premiums. We gather the audience. We then show the product that we wish to distribute as a premium in exchange for an advertising purchase. We then show other products. We give out the sample, which is usable in any pen, whether they use our products or not, and they don't have to buy anything to get that sample, you see. And then after that, we show the item that we intend to sell. We create the desire to have the premium gift. We give them something else. We now show another item that we tell them will be on the market, and when it does come out, it will sell for $3. And they are willing, at that moment, they're willing to pay the $3 for it. And as long as they're willing to pay the $3 for that alone at that moment, you know you're going to sell them. You see, you can offer them diamonds and $20 gold pieces to give you $3 for something they think is worth two, and they ain't going to buy it. But as long as you sell them the product you want them to buy, and they feel it's worth the money, then all the rest is extra. The rest is the freebie. And that's where the larceny comes in. They're going to beat you, you see. But we qualify them. We ask questions. Do you promise to advertise it if you like it? You never got one before now. Please, if you got one, don't take another. And then the final question is, how many people liked the telephone clip-on pill well enough so that when you see this in the stores selling for $3, you would walk over to a counter where they're being sold and spend $3 to buy one? And they all hold their hands up. Is it, you really would? You're not just funning with them. You mean it's to help your pretty long hair. Are you sincere? It's to help your growing beard, sir. And, you know, all these different things. And so that you're personalizing it and committing them. Well, I still have 12 hands, I've only got 9 sets. Or I still have 22 hands, I've only got 14 sets. Because you've limited how many you're going to distribute. I said, if you spoke the truth, I'd reward you. And I'm going to see how many people mean what they say and say what they mean. And then I'm going to ask you to forget about waiting until the future, not next month or even next week, right now. You try 2 of the Starlight Clipper Desk 8 pens. Not at their regular price of $3 each, no. If you will promise to give one away as a gift to a friend or a neighbor who would further our advertising, and right away the people say to themselves, the hell with you, I'm going to keep them both, you see. So as long as they're screwing me, they're going to give me the money, you see. try 2 at the regular price of not at the regular price of $3 each, no. Promise to give one away. You may have the 2 for only $5. And to the first 14 people who show me they are sincere, that they meant what they said and said what they meant, you will take home with them as an advertising premium gift the $7.95 set, plus some extra bonus items that I haven't even told you about as yet. So if you meant what you said, if you said what you meant, go ahead, have your $5 ready. I'll serve the first 14 people and 14 people, and they fight to give you the money. They absolutely fight to get that money into your hands. And by the way, the thing we give them is a set of these. You tilt it forward, the point locks in place automatically, no buttons to push. You tilt it back, falls back inside. You can't get an ink stain pocket. The point and the clip are on the same end, uses a standard size refill, has nothing in it but a little gravity wedge, which is the secret, and and the pencil has a liquid lead refill. So, and it's a clever little set. Mm-hmm. And we also have this in silver chrome, you see. And during the course of the demonstration, we tell them that if they've got someone special, the silver chrome set will sell for $9.95, and it's worth the extra $2 because we must be honest with them. The company insists that I tell you the truth. Eventually, our gold tone set will tarnish. It is only gold toned, and the oil from your hands will cause it to tarnish. The silver chrome set will never tarnish. So we've established the difference in the value, so that later, when we permit them to re-spend the $5 they've just spent toward the silver chrome set, 90% of them send up more money to get the silver chrome set. Because it's a $9.95 set, we've cut the price down to $8. We permit them to re-spend the $5 they've spent, they send up 3 more. And then I go for a blind dollar. They don't know what they're going to get. As a matter of fact, I tell them I'm going to call it nothing. And after I collect all the dollars, and I give everybody a number who gives me a dollar, what did I promise you 31 people for that dollar? They all say nothing. In other words, I could sit here and say thank you all for your kind donation. Legally, I'd be within my rights. Morally, it stinks. I'll never take money from you without giving you at least the value in return, and I end up, I give them another $3 clip-on pen, plus 2 gold writing perfumed ink refills, which ordinarily would be $1 a piece. So they walk away happy, they got a bag full of merchandise, and they've been entertained for 40 minutes.
You're going to be giving this pitch tomorrow?
I'd like to be able to give this pitch up at your place when...
Yeah, yeah. That would be wonderful. I know, that'd be great. What about the candy pitch, though? That's totally different.
Oh, that's totally different, yeah. And that candy kid, yeah. There are present candy. There's a man called Sam the Candy Man, who makes his own candy, and he gives a pitch to sell the candy when he's at the fairs. I thought you were referring to the candy pitch in the old burlesque theaters.
what's the candy pitch in the old burlesque theaters, huh? Where you would get up and on the stage and...
Well, that's, yeah, and you see what you do there, again, you work on larceny. You promise a prize in every package, see? And now it might be a wristwatch, and it might be one of those radios, and of course it could be a $5 bill. You see, now they're paying 50 cents for a damn box of candy, or 3 for a dollar. As the boys start to pass it out, you got a few plants in the audience. Oh, I got a $5 bill. I got a radio. Well. Now, there's only 5 more radios left, folks. There are only 6 altogether.
Did they ever get anything?
Yeah, there were little goodies in the thing, but nothing ever really fantastic.
Yeah, Ward Hall was saying how he once pitched candy and said that there was a Cadillac.
Windshield wiper.
His boss says, if you ever sell a Cadillac again, you're out of the job. You know, he's a little outrageous.
A little too much.
Well,
Ward
does some very nice pitches. He when he works in the Illusion Show, and he'll come out sometimes with his little ventriloquist dummy, and it serves two purposes, not only in entertainment, but it also enables him to pitch something. And sometimes he even rehashes the program pitch. You know, it makes it a little more interesting for them to want to buy a program. And he's good at what he does. Ward's very good at what he does.
What other kind of pitches are
there? There's an auction pitch. And the auction pitch, again, see, it's the idea is to get them used to getting their hands in the air and to spending money. I've got this on videotape, but I'll give you just a bit of it. They've introduced me as Mr. Giveaway. I've come out there and I've thrown out some rain bonnets. Here, girls, this is from the American Plastic Company. Wear them in the best of health. If you ever caught in the rain, save the hairdo. Now, we got something for the men, too. How many people ever heard of the Gillette Razor Company? Well, I'm glad you heard of them. These are not Gillette's. This is a brand you never heard of. I want you to advertise these. They're called Akron or whatever it is. And throw out some razor blades, you see. And of course, it depends where you're working and what kind of a crowd you're working to. There are some gags you do use and some gags you don't use. I was working in Vegas. And there, you know, I had a woman jumping up and grabbing the razor blades. I said, lady, I don't mind you grabbing the razor blades, but for goodness sakes, close your mouth. I said, we had a tragedy here only last week. A nurse swallowed a pack of those. She circumcised four doctors. But it was a nightclub kind of crowd, you see. So, you know, you got to use your head. You know?
Lake City, Florida.
Yeah, right? No, not in Lake City, Florida. Part of the thing that I do, I finally get, I tell them that I've got cigarette lighters. And cigarette lighters, everybody goes crazy. The two items they all went crazy over were the back scratchers and the cigarette lighters. And I start to throw out the cigarette lighters, and I'll say, here, I said these were free. I'm going to pass them out. Who needs a cigarette lighter? How many people smoke? Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Cut it out. It's a nasty, filthy habit. It'll give you cancer, and I put a cigarette in my mouth, you see. And I said, no, seriously, who does smoke? All right, you need a lighter, you got one, it's free. What do you say? Thank you. I think I can make you all say thank you before I'm finished. Thank you are the magic words that open the cockles of my heart. Who else didn't get a lighter? Lady over here, you didn't get one. Have one, it's free. Here's another one over here, and I throw out two or three lighters. Wait a minute. All these hands up in the air. Just a minute. You know, I've only got four lighters left. Where I come from, they say that if a person or party really needs something, they should be willing to pay for it. I don't want to just throw out merchandise indiscriminately. I don't want some 10-year-old kid to catch it and go in there and trade it in for a candy bar. I want people who are going to use these windproof lighters. They're Zippo-type lighters, but they're not Zippos. They're windproof. That's the name. And I want you to advertise them for us. How many people really do smoke and could use a lighter? Well, I'm going to find out if you really need one. Here, instead of just giving them out free, I'll put a crazy little advertising price on them. How many people here would pay me a penny for a lighter? Everybody would. Well, I'll make it harder to get. Who'd say a quarter? Gentlemen here, you were first. You mean a quarter? Pay me the quarter. By God, he does mean it. Look at the morts fly out of that wallet. Here, you can have it, sure, it's free. All right. Who else? I'll tell you what, here, I'll make this one harder to get. Who'll say 50 cents? You see? Every hand up. I'll tell you what, if I asked you to pay me the 50 cents, would you pay me? You really would. Well, by golly, you keep your 50 cents, donate it to your favorite charity. You really smoke, because I can tell you, the lady started to pay me. She needs a lighter. Here, I'll tell you, I got two left here. The first two hands up. Oh, my goodness. Who the heck was first? Say I. And they all scream I. Well, who was last? Say me. Lady, how can you be first and last? Here, who didn't say anything at all? Gentleman back there. Mr. Gentleman, you didn't say anything at all. Not a word, right? And I pick up a light. I start to walk toward him. Not a word, right? Then you don't want one of the damn things. You know, I put it back down. And finally, what I do is I raise a dollar on each of the lighters and collect the dollar. But then I use the dollar for wrapping paper. And I return the dollar to them with the lighters, and I hope that all of their gifts come wrapped in that kind of paper. And I tell the people, I've just conducted a lesson in psychology. When I said they were free, every hand was up. A penny didn't make much difference. But when I said a dollar, I saw 25 hands go down so fast I thought they'd rupture an elbow. These two people showed me they really wanted a lighter. They said a dollar, and they put their money where their mouth was. They backed up their word. Now, I'll back up my word on what I tell you. I said I'll sell alarm clocks for a quarter. The people who take home alarm clocks will pay nothing more than a quarter. I have a $39.95 cooker fryer. It's going to go to someone for a dollar. That's the price. Not a dollar one, not a dollar ten, $1. But I'm going to make sure that whether it be cameras, this, and I meant, now I mentioned all the merchandise I got, wristwatch, etc., they all go to people who really will be advertisers, not just snatchers and grabbers because it's free. You see, and then I go on to something else. But all this time I'm building the larceny, you see, so that when I finally, when I say, now I'm selling this, this, and this, my price for these are $30, how many people will say $30 for this? I'll get 15, 20 people send up $30, and then I qualify them. Now you understand you're spending the $30. Cooker fryers I give out for a dollar. Cigarette lighters I pass out free. Ladies' watches are $30. If you're not satisfied to spend the $30, say so now. But if you do spend that $30 and you find out that the watch is worth 30 cents, then you've made a bum deal. If the watch is worth $30, you've made a fair deal. And if it's worth more than $30, you made a darn good deal. But good, bad, or fair, do you understand all sales here are final? The money belongs to me, the watch belongs to you. If I want to give you more or charge you less, that's my privilege, not my obligation. And if I did more for you, what two words would you say? And they all say, thank you. I'll see if I can make you say thank you.
Wow.
So in many cases, people do overspend themselves. It's a way of selling merchandise. And we do give them fair deals.
In order to appreciate it, you really have to see it in action, though.
That's what I'm thinking. I gotta see it.
You have to see the sickness catch them. You know, the greed. It's absolute greed. It really is. It's, and we all have it. I have my degree of it, you know. Everybody does. We all want something for nothing. That's...
So that's the auction pitch.
And that's the auction pitch. General merchandise, right.
Where would you do that kind of pitch? What kind of place?
We've done this at fairgrounds. We used to do it in Las Vegas until the casinos complained that people were spending so much with us they couldn't gamble it away. We got thrown out of Atlantic City and Wildwood, New Jersey, because the motel owners carried on something terrible. They went to the newspapers. They had fantastic campaigns. Motel owners formed a league and hired lawyers to put us out of business. Well, you look at it this way. A person comes down from Albany, New York to spend a week in Atlantic City, New Jersey. They know their motel is going to cost them X number of dollars per night. They paid for two nights, and when they come down, they're supposed to pay the balance or whatever it is, or they paid something else, and they still owe something which they'll pay on checkout, you see. The third night that they're down in Atlantic City, they walk down the boardwalk, they walk into one of these auction places, and they spent $400. Now, they got two shopping bags full of stuff, you see, but they spent $400, you know. Gee, I didn't really want to buy that stereo. And what am I going to do with goldware? You know, when they get home, they get out of the ether, you see. He did say all sales are final. I guess we can't take this back, you see. So the motel owners, you go to the motel owner the next morning and say, we're going to have to check out this afternoon because we have enough just to pay for today and our trip back. We've spent all our money. Well, now, the motel owner's sitting there with four empty days in that motel. He didn't make reservations for him. So naturally, they're going to resent you.
So are there places like stores that are sort of auction places where you sell?
Yeah, well, now, this is a slightly different auction than the estate auction or the jewelry auction, mm-hmm. Although sometimes they're mixed in, you see. But this is more general merchandise, and it's all new merchandise. But we give away a lot of things at ridiculous advertising prices and then sell, you know, other items at a legitimate profit-making price.
Well, do companies contact you or contract
you? Some of them contact us for the advertising purposes, and we go out and we'll buy a closeout, our merchandise, that we can afford to give away real cheap. When we give alarm clocks, you know, the wholesale, those damn things gotta cost you a buck a piece. The stores, if you get a good buy, the stores are selling a little alarm clock, electric alarm clock like that. In the store, that's $5, okay? The stores may be paying a buck and a half or $2, and they charge $5 to sell it. All right, if we buy those for a dollar, we give them out for a quarter. But that's part of what we're paying to raise that greed and larceny.
How long did it take you to learn how to do that?
It came natural. it really did. No, I worked at it for a while. This kid said something, and I said, "Don't worry about it, Sonny. I've been doing this 2 days now. I'm getting kind of sharp at it, you know."
Did you ever watch other pitchmen work too?
Oh yes, yeah. I paid to be permitted to. When I first learned the foot bomb pitch, the care of the health and health of the feet. There was a very famous pitchman who was the best in the country, and his name was Jack Firestone. And I went to Jack and introduced myself, and he said, "I know who you are." He said, "I snuck up behind you one day and watched you work. You're sensational." And I said, "Well, thank you. I think you're sensational, and I'd like to learn how to do the foot bomb demonstration." And he said, "Do you have $500? I said, "Yeah." He said, "You bring me $500 tomorrow. I'll permit you to stand in my crowd for tomorrow and Tuesday." He said, "On Wednesday," he says, "we'll sit down and discuss it. On Thursday, you'll do it for me. And on Friday, I'll put you up on my stand, let you do two pitches and criticize them, and then you're on your own." I brought the $500. And he wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to waste his time. And he wanted something for teaching me something that he was a master at. He didn't expect me to go to work for him, so he had to be paid in front. Now, Joel didn't have to bring me any money, you see, because I expect to make money on what Joel does after he gets to do it properly. In the meantime, it's costing me money to let him get up there and do it, which he understands. But that's an investment. I have enough confidence in him to make that investment in him.
Like an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the foot bomb, but there again, you see, I brought my own thing to the foot bomb pitch. In those days, there were very few people who were working foot bomb because they were getting locked up. They were getting locked up for misrepresenting the product. And although Jack never misrepresented the product, Jack would give the absolute impression that he was a medical doctor. He worked in a white doctor's coat. He wore a stethoscope in the pocket. He had a thermometer in this pocket. I'm amazed he wasn't wearing a blood pressure machine over his neck. But at any rate, he would say things like, "I'll show you some pictures here." Now, when this woman brought her son to my office, now he never said he was a doctor. You understand? But he gave that impression. Jack, as far as I know, was never locked up, but other people were for absolute positive misrepresentation. So that to make sure and to protect myself, when I began to pitch, I would say things like, "This will remove the corns and calluses if used properly and the way it's directed." This was the what we call corn punk, and it would. The soap would keep your feet clean and soft, and the foot medicine would certainly keep it soft and pliable, so that there was less of a chance to grow calluses. And for those of you who have athlete's foot, There is hexachlorophene G11 in the product, which is a preventative as far as athlete's foot is concerned. But if you have athlete's foot at the moment, this will not cure it. My medicine won't cure anything. If you want a cure, then you have to seek it elsewhere. And I would look heavenward. But, you know, but you know, what I'm saying is I was very careful about things like that. And then also I find that if you tell them truths that they know to be truths, they must have confidence in you. So that I would say, and for those of you who are cursed with a bunion, my heart goes out to you. Because my medicine won't even give you blessed relief. You say, I would say that my medicine gave blessed relief to burning, hot, tired, aching feet. Relief. But my medicine won't even give a bunion blessed relief. A bunion is a malformation of the bone, and it can only be cured, as far as we know today, by surgery. So if anyone ever tries to sell you a medicine to cure a bunion, you call the police because they're liars and thieves. And usually at that point, I'd get a hand of applause. You know, people, he's right. And in the New York area, we had so many Jewish women with bunions. They were saying, Sezemus, which means it's the truth. It's the truth. It is so. You know? And I worked in Harlem. And I had people used to walk me to the subway to make sure that I was as safe could be. These were people who bought the medicine that I was selling. I call it medicine. It's not really medicine. There was nothing prescriptive about it.
Did this Jack Firestone, did he ever... He was an older man?
Jack was older than I, yes.
Did he ever work the medicine shows, traveling medicine shows?
I don't know if he did or not. As far as I know, he worked mostly stores. He had been on that Woolworth store in Newark for about 11 years. And then he moved to the McCrory store in Brooklyn.
And when you would set up in a store, would you have to pay the store?
Oh, yeah. We gave the store either... You make an arrangement, either a percentage deal or a flat rent. And that's why I'm delighted to come up and work.